We are going to look at that little phrase, follow me. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells a story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. And she got the application and began filling it out. And as she did, she came to a question that said, are you a leader? And being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, no. And she returned the application, really expecting the worst. But to her surprise, she received a letter from the college that said, dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year we have 1,452 leaders, and we are accepting your application because we feel it is important that they have at least one follower. A follower. If we were to be, if we are to be leaders, I think we must first of all be followers. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Today we want to just focus on that one little two-word phrase, follow me. Because there is so much truth in that call of Jesus. In fact, follow me is Jesus' call to discipleship. It always is. Follow me is Jesus' call to discipleship. It's the same instruction that Jesus gave to many of his disciples, probably all his disciples, when he first called them. We talked to the kids this morning about how less than 3 years before Jesus made this statement, Jesus had walked beside the sea there and saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew mending their nets. And as Jesus walks along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, as they were working, Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And Mark tells us that their response was, in chapter 1, verse 18 of Mark, he says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And then Jesus gave a similar call to James and to John. James and John were also fishermen. They were there with their father Zebedee and the hired hands, there with the boat beside the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says probably the same thing to them, follow me. And it says in chapter 1, verse 20 of Mark, it says they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. There's that phrase again. They went after Jesus. They followed him. They followed him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it tells us that John tells us that Jesus found a guy named Philip. And he said to him the very same thing that he had said to Simon and Andrew and James and John. He said in John 1:43, he said to Philip, follow me. And Philip did. Went and got his friend Nathanael, and they both followed him. Now these were not the only people to whom Jesus said the words, follow me. These were the ones who obeyed. These were the ones who took the challenge. These were the ones who followed Jesus and became his disciples. But some of those to whom Jesus gave the call did not follow. Did you know that? In fact, if you look a little further down in the chapter, you'll come to verse 59. And in verse 59, Jesus says to another man, we don't know who this man was, just some man, he says to another, follow me. There's that call again. The call to discipleship. Jesus says to this man, follow me. But the man makes an excuse. He says, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. He says, let me go take care of my family obligations here. He said, let me wait until my father's dead. That way I can get the inheritance, and then I can go follow you. Chances are his father wasn't even dead yet. He just says, well, let me go take care of this first. Let me get my inheritance, then I'll follow you. He made an excuse. He's not the only one. If you turn to Luke chapter 18, in Luke chapter 18, we have the story of the one that we have come to call the rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he asks him a question about how do I obtain, what must I do to get eternal life? Hey, that's a great question. What must I do to get eternal life? It's a great pursuit. It's something that, it's a great goal that I would want to have eternal life. And that's what this rich young man came and asked Jesus. Well, after Jesus talked with this young man about the commandments of God and about this man's life and how he was living up to that, then the young man still wasn't satisfied. And Jesus looks at him and he says, one thing you lack. He says, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. There's the call, isn't it? The call to discipleship. Jesus wants this man to be his disciple. In fact, one of the Gospels says that he looked at him and he loved him. Jesus loved this young man. And yet, the Bible says that when the young man heard Jesus say this, Mark tells us he went away and became very sorrowful, for he was rich. Follow me. Follow me is the call of Jesus to discipleship. It was the call of all to everyone that Jesus would call to be his disciple. It still is, by the way. Did you know that? When Jesus calls people, even today, to be his disciples, he calls them with this phrase, follow me. Follow me. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, I think it means at least three things. The first one is this. Following Jesus means to walk in his footsteps. Following Jesus means to walk in his footsteps. You know, when Jesus' disciples followed him around, and I get this picture, you know, here is Jesus walking down these dusty roads in Galilee, Judea, around Nazareth, and all of those places where Jesus went. He's walking down the road, and tagging along behind him are 12 guys, and maybe a few women also, from what we see from the Gospel of Luke. And so he's got this entourage, and Jesus is leading the way, and tagging along behind him are his disciples. You could tell a disciple of Jesus because he was doing what? He was following Jesus. She was following Jesus. Someone has said you can tell a disciple because they have the dust of the Master on their feet. You see, as Jesus walked down those dusty roads, he's kicking up the dust, and the disciples were following so close behind, they had his dust on them. Are you following Jesus like that? Are you following so close to Jesus that the dust that He kicks up sticks to you? That's a disciple. A disciple is one that follows Jesus, walks in His footsteps. You know, that famous poem that a lot of Christians have on in their house, the footprints poem, you all remember this one about seeing two sets of footprints in the sand. You know, I think it would be a whole lot better if we could see that the footprints were not side by side, but the way it ought to be is that the footprints, my footprints, ought to be in Jesus' footprints. That where He steps, I step. Where He goes, I go. When Ricky was quite a bit younger, probably 10 years ago or so, we got to take a short vacation to Florida. Beautiful beaches in Florida, white beaches there on the Gulf Coast, and we just had a wonderful time there. One of our deacons let us use his condo for a few days. It was just beautiful, and we enjoyed it, our time away. But I remember walking down the beach, and as I'm walking down the beach, I turn back, and I see there's Ricky, you know, just a little guy, and he is trying to step in the same places where I stepped, you know. And so we made a game out of it. You know, I made little baby steps, you know, and then I made some giant steps, you know, and then we started turning circles, and, you know, and it was a lot of fun. And it was quite comical to see him trying to keep up with me, you know, to see him trying to step in my steps. But you see, that's what it is to follow Jesus. We step where He steps. Where He goes, we go. Disciples walk where Jesus walked. Think about the places where Jesus went. Jesus, we sang that song, Footsteps of Jesus, talks about Him walking over the mountains and down the roads, talks about Him walking to where the sick and the hurting were. Talks about him walking over by the pool of Siloam and healing a man there. Jesus walked into the houses of publicans and sinners and ate with them. Jesus went where people were hurting and needed healing, and He cared for them. That's where Jesus went. A disciple goes where Jesus goes, and a disciple walks the way Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Of course, we know from the Bible that the way that Jesus lived His life was that He lived a perfect life. He never stumbled. He never fell. He never got off course. Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life. He walked a perfect walk with His Father. Now, if I'm to be a disciple of Jesus, what does that say about my walk? If I'm going to walk in the way that Jesus walked, does that mean I must live a perfect life? Well, let me tell you, it is the goal of every disciple to live like Jesus lived, to walk like Jesus walked, to have that perfect life as Jesus did. It's our goal, even if it's not our reality. Okay? I know, and you know, from experience and from the truth of the Bible, that none of us can do that perfectly. None of us can live that life perfectly without sin and always do the will of our Father in heaven. We just can't. But does that mean we shouldn't try? No. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, He said, "Therefore be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, "But as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Perfection is the goal of the disciple, to be like Jesus, to walk the way that Jesus walked. Can we do it? Not perfectly, not all the time, but we know that God is able to give us the strength that we need, to give us the direction that we need. We know we have a Savior who goes before us, who leads us, as we saw from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." God is able to judge us, not just on our performance, but God is able to judge us as well on our desire to obey Him. God knows our hearts. Isn't that good news? There will be times when you do it better than others. There will be times when you stumble and you get off track. But Jesus doesn't give up on us in those cases. Did you know that? If we belong to Him, if we are His disciple, even in those times when we stumble and fall, even in those times when we get off track, even in those times when we sin, Jesus doesn't give up on us. I know that because of the way that Jesus treated Peter. Remember, the very first call that Jesus gave to Peter was, "Follow me." We saw that already when he found him there beside the sea, and he said, "Follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men." Well, we know from the scriptures that Peter failed miserably. When Jesus was arrested and taken and put on trial, Peter stood there and denied Jesus, even calling down curses on himself, denied Jesus three times that he even knew him. Peter stumbled. He fell. He got off track. He sinned. And yet, after Jesus was raised from the dead, in John chapter 21, Jesus finds Peter again fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And after a miraculous catch of fish, Peter comes in and meets Jesus there on the shore. They have breakfast. Jesus fixed it. Wouldn't you like to have breakfast with Jesus? So it was fish, by the way. But there he is, having breakfast with Jesus. And they have this conversation. And twice in that conversation, Jesus says to Peter again, "Follow me. Follow me." The very same call he had been given to discipleship at the beginning, Jesus gives to Peter again after he had stumbled and fallen, after he had gotten off track. Jesus forgives him, restores him, and he starts following Jesus again. You know, when we stumble into temptation, when we fall into sin, when we stray away from Jesus' footprints, Jesus calls us again, He forgives us again, He restores us again, and we get up and we follow Jesus again. Isn't that good news? Here's number two. Following Jesus means leaving some things behind. Following Jesus means leaving some things behind. You know, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishermen. What did the Bible say? They left their nets. They dropped their nets and they followed Him. James and John left their father Zebedee and the hired hands in the boat and simply followed Jesus. It says about Matthew, Levi, Jesus gave the same call to him. He said, "Follow me." Matthew is a tax collector. He's sitting at the tax booth there. And Jesus gives him the call. He says, follow me. And it says that he left all, he rose up, and he followed him. Check it out, Luke 5:28. He left all, he rose up, and he followed him. He left it all. These disciples had to leave their homes. They had to leave their jobs and businesses. They left their families. They left their old life behind to follow Jesus. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we have the story of the call of Elisha. In our adult Sunday school class, we've been studying the life of Elisha and his ministry. If you haven't been coming to Sunday school, come to Sunday school. We have got a great Bible study going on about the life of Elisha. But as in 1 Kings 19, Elijah, who is the national prophet, Elijah, okay, the national prophet, was coming to the end of his ministry. And God told Elijah to go find a guy named Elisha to be Elijah's disciple and to be his replacement. Now, Elijah goes and he finds this guy named Elisha, and Elisha is hard at work. He is working on the family farm. He is plowing behind a yoke of oxen. And probably, it's my guess, that Elisha came from a fairly well-to-do family. Because you find Elisha supervising the other 11 guys that are up there plowing. They've all got yoke of oxen. And Elisha is the last guy, and he's supervising all the others. All right? So now, by the way, for those of you who are farmers, you kind of get the picture of that. This guy has a 12-bottom plow. What kind of tractor does it take to pull a 12-bottom plow? That's a huge tractor, you know? I mean, you got to have a rich farm to have a tractor to pull a... Well, they didn't have tractors back then, but they had 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24 oxen. You know, that's a rich farm. And so here's Elisha. And the prophet Elijah comes up to him, and he walks up to this farmer who's plowing the field, and it says that he threw his prophet's mantle on Elisha. Now, I'm not sure what a mantle is. I did some study on it. Doesn't really say what a mantle is. Probably some kind of outer garment that Elijah wore as a prophet. And when you wore this mantle, people looked as, oh, prophet. Okay, there he goes. There goes the prophet. He's wearing the mantle, you know. And so he took this mantle and he took it off and he threw it on Elisha. And we can see that Elisha knew what this meant. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 19:20 that he ran after the prophet and he said, I will follow you. He knew what the call was. The call was, I want you to be the next prophet. God's called you. He threw the mantle on him. But before Elisha left his father's farm and went off to follow Elijah, he first did something very important. He had a barbecue for his family. Hey, we're all in favor of that, right? So why is that so important? Well, because the Bible tells us that Elisha took that yoke of oxen. He took the oxen that were pulling the plow, and he slaughtered them, and he took the plow and the yoke, and he used them for firewood, and they cooked up those oxen, and he fed them to his family. I mean, they had barbecued beef right there and just enjoyed it, I'm sure. It was a sacrifice, though, wasn't it? I'll tell you what. What was Elisha doing? Well, let me tell you, when you burn your plow and your yoke and you eat your ox, you're not planning on going back to farming. Right? He was cutting ties with his past so that he wouldn't be tempted to go back to that old life. It was his way of showing that he was totally committed to following his new master. Isn't that what Jesus' disciples did? They left all and they followed him. That's disciples. That's what discipleship is. It's forsaking all and following Jesus. Now let's think about this. Do you have some things that are keeping you from following Jesus? That are keeping you from walking the way that Jesus walked? There may be some of you guys that are right here in this congregation today that need to take and burn your pornography. Simple as that. Burn it. It doesn't belong to you anymore. You've got a calling from God to follow Jesus. There may be some that maybe need to delete that phone number or that email address of that person that could tempt you away from your spouse. Forsake it. Leave it. You may need to leave behind, what is it in your life that you just need to leave behind so that you can follow Jesus? I guarantee for every one of us, it's got to be something that we're still holding on to that we can just leave behind. It'll make following Jesus so much easier. So a disciple means sometimes leaving things behind. Now, third, discipleship, following Jesus, means that I don't blaze my own trail. Discipleship means that I don't blaze my own trail. Back to Luke chapter 9, verse 24, right after Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Then he says this, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a very important statement of Jesus. In fact, did you know that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them record this statement of Jesus? Matthew records it twice. Jesus says it twice in Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke here, he says it three times. He says it in 9:24. If you go over chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, he says it again. If you go over to chapter 17, verse 33, Jesus says it again. There is no other saying of Jesus that is given such emphasis in the Gospels as this statement. It's important. Now, let's read the way that John records it in John 12, 25. John 12, 25. Jesus says this, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Very similar to what he said there in Luke, right? That whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus said, whoever loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, if you look at verse 26, right after Jesus says this, Jesus again ties this verse, this idea of losing your life to find it with Jesus, he ties that together with following him, just like he did in the Gospel of Luke, where he said, follow me, and then whoever would save his life will lose it. So he says, in verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him do what? Follow me. Did you see it? If anyone serves me, he says, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Jesus says that the one who follows him will serve him. The one who follows him will be where Jesus is. The one who follows him will keep his life for eternal life, even though he loses it in this world. Following Jesus means that I must be where Jesus is. I must be a servant. Isn't that what he just said here? That we serve. To follow Jesus means to serve him. And so, I cannot follow Jesus and do my own thing. Go my own way. Live my own life. I must serve Jesus. Follow him rather than serving myself. I can't follow Jesus and blaze my own trail at the same time. Maybe you've heard of Florence Nightingale. Although she was raised in great wealth and privilege, at the age of 17, she experienced what she called the call of God to help suffering people. She became known as the founder of modern nursing. And while serving during the bloody Crimean War, she treated the wounded. Even after she had contracted a deadly illness herself, she was the first female to be awarded the British Order of Merit. What made her life so exceptional? Well, although not all of her Christian beliefs were orthodox, she was a serious disciple of Jesus. She wrote in her diary, I am 30 years old today, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now, no more childish things, no more vain things. You see, she left it behind, didn't she? Late in her life, she was asked to explain how she had accomplished so much. And she said this, I can only give one explanation, and that is this. I have kept nothing back from God. I have kept nothing back from God. A disciple will walk the way of the Master. He will forsake all and follow Jesus. She will not blaze her own trail. A disciple will follow the steps of Jesus as he served, as he gave his life a ransom for many. Do you know that Jesus? Have you come to that point in your life where you have said, you know, I'm tired of going my own way, of blazing my own trail, because it's not working. I keep stumbling and I keep falling and I keep getting hurt. And I know that God must have a better way for me. And that's the way of Jesus. Jesus said, the Son of Man, about himself, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life for you, so that you could know what true life is. Would you give your life to Jesus today? Would you take that step and say, I'm going to turn my back on my sin. I'm going to turn my back on my old life. And I'm going to turn toward Jesus. You see, that's what the Bible calls repentance. It's turning your back on your sin and turning your face towards God. And then put your faith in Jesus. That means I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him with my life so that I follow Him rather than following myself. Would you trust in Jesus today? And for those of you who have already done that, have you taken that next step of discipleship? Have you turned and looked to see, am I following in the steps of Jesus? Or am I still trying to blaze my own trail? Have I left behind what I need to leave behind? Those things that are holding me back so that I can follow Jesus. Maybe you need to make that decision today. We're going to have a time of...